Okay, so just state your name.
Ellery Smith.
How you're feeling?
Good. I'm like kind of stressed out lately, but it'll calm down eventually.
And what your occupation is slash what you do?
I'm a writer and a comedian, which is pretty cool.
Awesome. And how long have you been doing it for? What's your background?
It'll be 7 years in March that I've been doing stand-up. I started in Albany, actually. New York, a woman I worked with at Trader Joe's, Jay McBride, who's now like a very good comedian in New York. She was doing comedy like fairly seriously and working at Trader Joe's, whatever, just the way you have to when you're a comic. And I was in high school and I was like such a super fan of comedy. And she invited me to an open mic one night and I did it and then I never stopped.
All right, guys, our next comedian again is moving to Boston in just a few days, and she's performed here a bunch of times, performing in Boston, Ellery Smith, everybody!
Is anybody down to get drunk at Fridays later? Yep, like in a sad way. Don't do that. So, I was really nervous about doing this, but I'm moving in 3 days, so fuck you guys. Never see me again. I still do have really terrible anxiety, and I was taking medication for it, but one of the side effects was increased anxiety. So I was like, that doesn't make any sense. So I stopped taking it, because anxiety is like, it's like free cocaine. Maybe not cocaine, maybe something less fun and more harmful, like methamphetamine. It's like anytime you want to do anything, you're just going to snort some meth and be fine. I actually don't know if you snort meth, I don't know how you do. I knew that I had a problem with anxiety when I went to Moe's, and there were so many items on the menu, I started to cry. And I'm a vegan, so there weren't even really that many items on the menu that I could eat, and my brain was still like, we're not going to make this decision right now.
What does your daily schedule look like? I know it's crazy, but like...
It is crazy. Well, it's all over the place.
Every day, you have a morning routine.
Yeah, well, it depends on the day. So I have a few copywriting clients, right? So I wake up at like 8, I will get that copywriting work done and like check like that Slack feed or whatever and see what they need from me. And sometimes like on Mondays, I have like 3 meetings with one client always every week. But I take those all here because it's remote. And then I typically will work on my own projects from like noon or 1 to 5. And then from 5 to 10 or 11, I'm doing stand-up.
Oh, wow.
And then sometimes I try to go to the gym, but that has not been happening lately.
Happens to the best of us. Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, I know for me, like, if I'm writing, like, I'll literally schedule out full days.
I wish I was like that. I'm more like a fits and spurts kind of person. Like, I have to, like, get up and walk around. I get bored really easily. Or, like, I just hate being... like across the table from my own bad ideas, right? Like looking like my stupid shit on the page and like I get really frustrated with it. So I have to like leave it and come back when I'm not so mad at myself for not doing how or what I want to do.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
And like put your ideas out there.
And then leave it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big, something I did a lot when I first started writing was I would write a bunch and then I would just become frustrated with it and delete it all. And then it's like so counterintuitive to what you're trying to do. Like, and also you have to burn off a lot of bad content before you can make good content, so.
Thank you. It's me, I'm the lady on the lineup. You only get one, right? You only get one. My boyfriend and I, we broke up recently. Thank you, some might say finally. We were on and off for a long time, my boyfriend and I, which is like walking past a trash can that smells like food, right? Because your brain knows that it's trash, but your body thinks, what if there's something worth saving? There literally never is. I hate being single so much. Last year, I was dumped by a guy who has 2 DUIs. And it's like, you're not better than I am because you have one more DUI than I do. You know what I mean?
So, if we talk the creative process, you do stand up and you write.
Yeah.
Would you say you do different things to get into the right headspace?
Yeah, well, I'm fairly prolific at stand up because I go up so often, but I go up so often because it's like very easy, right? Like I want to be like staffed in rooms, like television rooms. And that's a little bit harder because you have to write samples like a spec or a pilot script. And that takes like time and like thoughtfulness. And I find it to be very taxing. You know, it's hard. It takes like months to write a good pilot, whereas like you can write a stand-up joke in like 3 seconds and then go do it.
Right.
Yeah. So the turnaround is quicker.
So if you're sitting there and you have to write or you have to, you know, perform an awesome show, and you don't feel like it, what do you do to?
I just, I mean, that's like the job. Like, I think the thing about comedy that like not a lot of people realize, and that also like I didn't realize until I was so deep in it, is that like it's the thing I love to do so much in the world, but it's still work and it still feels like work. And so there are some days where I don't want to go to work, or like I will really drag my feet to write something, but like if I want to do this, I have to be able to like go through the other side. So it's just like I'll just remind myself, like, millions of people want to do what you're trying to do, and like the difference between them and you is like who's willing to do the work. So like people who are willing to do the work will make it to the top, like no matter what, or not even to the top, just to the table. So I try to like not let myself, like, I don't know, feel like pity that I have to do these things, because it's like really, I mean, it's like my dream. Like I never thought that I would be like doing comedy full time and a writer full time. Like that's amazing. And like I'm a copywriter, right? So like I don't really work in TV all the time, but I am at the very baseline, I'm doing the thing that I wanted to do. So I try to like not let myself wallow about how, whatever, I don't feel like it one day.
That's great. And you have so much going on, like you were saying, and like what do you do to keep that fire and to like stay creative?
Oh.
You know?
I really, that's something I am sort of asking myself also, right? Like it's, I have a lot of balls up in the air and I'm not very organized, so that can be difficult. But also it can be good, because like if I get bored of one project, I can go work on another one and then like come back to that other project when I have like something to say about it or whatever. Like I have more things to put towards it. So it's nice to be able to like switch through the things you're working on.
Right.
Yeah. And also a lot of writing is just like getting that first draft out so that you can go back and like do what you actually want to do to it. But the hard part is getting the first draft out.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. And when it comes to writing, are you more of a researcher, or do you kind of rely on your own?
Oh, I'm a heavy researcher for sure. I think the thing is I try not to write things that are outside of my personal experience, right? Like, so I don't want to do anything that involves too much research, because I think people watching it would know that it's like coming from a fake point of view, if that makes sense. Like, there would be a lot of like informational holes or like things that were just like obviously not true, but I wouldn't know because I'm not in that field. So I try to stick to like things that I know intimately, and I'll do some research on them, but it's like things that I don't have to do too much research on.
Right.
Yeah.
So then like, if it's stand-up, are you the type to watch the stand-up, or do you kind of like, you don't want to do that because you don't want to be influenced by it?
Well, I think every comedian at first is just doing their favorite comedian, right? But I don't really watch stand-up anymore. Like, I will watch certain people's specials, but it's very, very infrequent that I see, like, you know, that I will, like, look at somebody's video or tape, right? Like, there are lots of people doing, like, great stuff, and they record it and put it online, and I never watch it, not ever. Which is, I mean, I'm probably missing out on a lot of good content, but I see comedy all day long every day, so I don't want to, like, come home and watch more.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And why comedy?
I thought for a long time, like when I was in high school, I thought that I was going to be like a poet laureate, like a real, like a writer. But I realized there was no money in it. And also, I just couldn't stand like how seriously people took themselves and like their work. And so, and also it's easier for me to like burn off negative energy in like a funny way, right? Otherwise it just like becomes cannibalistic and it like will eat at you. So it's easier for me to like take my negative emotions and put them towards humor than to like, I don't know, spend time inside it to write like a short novel or something.
Okay. That's like a true artist right there, converting.
Yeah, well, I think that's what everybody is doing.
Yeah.
For the most part, I think the people who aren't doing that are like quote unquote hack, right? Like if you're not talking about your feelings, like what are you talking? Like I don't think observational comedy is very good unless like you have a point of view about the thing you're observing, right?
Right.
Because it's like all about the human experience and sharing it, and that's not what observational comedy does, for the most part. Sometimes it does.
I hate doing comedy. It only ever hurts my feelings. I'm very sensitive. I did a comedy competition last week because I don't respect my own time. And I love to hurt my own feelings. A man in the green room told me that he was fluent in sarcasm. That he's been doing comedy for 8 months. And then I watched him win $50. So, all around a very encouraging experience, I think.
Kind of like pivoting. A common theme of this web series mm-hmm. has been like mental health.
Cool.
What, do you take any active steps?
Yeah, I am in therapy once a week. I'm on Wellbutrin. You're sitting right next to it. Sometimes I go to group therapy, which has been helpful, but it's sort of hard for me not to like collect stories, and like that's not what you should be there for. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I feel sort of voyeuristic where I should be like being open and like trying to relate to everybody else. But yeah, I'm pretty actively involved in my own mental health, but because I think if I weren't, I like would not survive it. Like, it's a very tough city to live in. And I think by nature, like, comedians are sort of sensitive people.
Right.
So you have to stay ahead of stuff like that.
Were you like pursuing comedy before you started like actively seeking like mental health? Did you experience a change for the better, or?
Oh, interesting. I found it was like an outlet, right? I discovered an outlet where I could talk about the things that I was experiencing, but also it can be a little alienating to like say something on stage that you think is universal and like people don't relate to or like think is too dark.
Right.
So that can be like a little odd or like discouraging. But I've been in therapy since I was like 15, so I was like pretty aware of like, I don't know, the mental health vernacular before I hopped into comedy.
Right.
And I was also aware of the connection between like mentally ill people and comedy. Like, there's a ton of us.
I knew it was over with my boyfriend and I when my therapist asked me how I thought he would feel if I killed myself. And I told her he would finally have something interesting to talk about. Sort of the nail in the coffin, so to speak. I'm working through a lot of stuff right now. I'm recovering a lot of repressed memories. For instance, last week I remembered that when I was a sophomore in college, a man asked me if I had ever seen Garden State in the middle of having sex with him. I know. I was never prepared to run into that level of violence against women. I'm a big therapy person. I think it's important to improve yourself. Right now I'm trying to de-weaponize the language around, you know, my own mistakes so that they become less powerful in my memory. So now every time I hook up with somebody I regret, I call it satire. And instead of like a bad decision, it becomes social commentary. And I'm doing the work of an ally, and you can Venmo me after the show.
When it comes to motivation, what would you say is like the key to it? Besides, like, you said your why, but is there anything else that keeps you like?
Just like the love of comedy, right? Like, anytime I get too burnt out of doing open mics, I start going to shows. And I see people doing comedy, and it like sort of reignites my passion for it. Like, I see people who are far and away much better than I am, and that sort of like inspires me to keep working on my thing, right? Like, I have a lot of friends in Los Angeles who are just like so amazingly talented, and like they're like truly some of my favorite comedians to watch, like not just my friends. And so like seeing them perform always like sort of refreshes my love for comedy, where I'm like, oh, like there's so much goodness in this, and like it's still, there's still so much like ground that hasn't been covered, and like I want to be one of those people doing that.
Right.
So I think that's how I stay motivated. I try to like remind myself what I love about it.
For somebody similar to yourself, like what advice would you give yourself when it comes to pursuing any creative person in general, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, I would think long and hard about like if this is really what you wanted to do, unless you come from family money, in which case have at it. But if you're like, I support myself out here, and it's been really difficult, right? Like, you know, I am on like Medicaid, like I have state health insurance, I have state car insurance. I made like $15,000 last year. I'm in a lot of credit card debt. I mean, it's been worth it, absolutely. But like, it's, you have to be very careful about, like, you're gonna go a long time before you make money, like 10 years maybe. Like, it's gonna be a very hard road, unless like something amazing happens to you. But so if you don't love what you're doing every day, I think it's really going to like eat away at you. So really decide if this is what you want to be. And other than that, I would just say like come prepared to stuff. Like, really go above and beyond to make sure that you have everything somebody might want to see from you. Like, if that means like a stand-up tape, if that means a spec, if that means a pilot, if that means like a sample, like a music sample, like just have work to show people, because eventually somebody will ask to see something that you made and you have to have something ready. And like, if you don't, they'll just go to the next kid. You know what I mean?
Right. Anything else that you would like to add about the creative process or the topic as a whole? Do you do anything like weird?
No.
Your creative process? Like,
no, I...
Do you have any diet or like anything?
No, I mean, I'm vegan, but that's for environmental reasons. No, I think like, I know that some people have like rituals or whatever, but to me that seems like a little performative. I mean, if it works for you, it works for you. But this is a job, and like you need to sit down and write, and that's like my process. It's just like being very stern with myself and being like, hey, this is your 9 to 5. Like, this is same as a desk job. You need to put in the hours. You have to meet with yourself. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job. So like, but the problem is when you're your own boss, you're like, can I fire myself? So you have to like be aware of like your own worst tendencies to sort of like fuck off and like blow things off and like not procrastinate and just like not be there for yourself. It's about like long-term preparedness.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a never-ending battle, right?
yeah, but it's a slow one, right? It's just a little bit every day. You know, like, life is very long.
Right, yeah. Like you're, the boss of yourself is talking to
the employee. Yeah, like, it's true, it's like, true. Well, it's also, that's true. It's like brain versus emotion, right? What would be good for me versus what do I want to do right now? So it's just like, you sort of have to be very aware of that stuff. And also like, you can't be, this is something I struggle with, but you can't be too hard on yourself. Like, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does or says something that they might not, you know, be so fond of now as an adult or like regret and be embarrassed by. But I think like being a comedian is about like learning yourself and like making those mistakes and learning to apologize, I think, is very important. And it's just because you are going to step on toes eventually. Like, you want to be able to, you know, be open with people and not be defensive about things and sort of like share your experience in a way that is connective and not alienating. So like, I think knowing yourself is a really big part of it.